Welcome to the official podcast of Apostolic Lighthouse. We'd like to thank you for listening today. We pray this message blesses you and encourages you to see that God is working in your life. Enjoy the message.
While you remain standing, I want to read three verses of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. We can't comprehend what the width and the length and the depth and the height of this thing is. Amen. Somebody could say, well, I read my Bible through once, put it on the shelf. No, you can't do that. You got to keep reading it. Amen. It's a living word.
Yes.
It's amen. God on the paper. Amen. It's God's word in print. Praise God. And so we can't understand the fullness of this thing. It's unsearchable riches. It's judgments, and his ways are past finding out. Amen. And that's why we just got to keep going and keep looking and keep digging and keep reaching. Amen. We'll never reach as high as this is. We'll never dig as deep as this is. We'll never go that way or that way and find the end of this thing before this thing all wraps up and he calls us home. Amen. So he said, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's the goal, to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I want to preach on the subject, the fullness of God. Lord, we thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. Let us have ears to hear, Lord, and to receive this wonderful word. And God, help us to hunger and to thirst for your will and for your word in our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The fullness of God. Amen. They say when you go grocery shopping that you should be full. You should eat before you go, because then you won't have impulse buys and craving buys and come away with a lot of stuff that wasn't even on your list. Like, oh yeah, I gotta have this because I'm full. And when you're full, things don't appeal to you. When you're full, you know, if someone even tells you after you had a huge Thanksgiving dinner and someone just says, hey, wouldn't you like to have your, you know, maybe your favorite meal? You're like, no, I don't even want to talk about it right now. Give me till tomorrow. I got to digest. You know what I mean? And even your favorite meal doesn't sound that great because you're full. But if you go to the grocery store hungry, if you go, amen, when you haven't eaten, everything looks so good. And they know where to put it too, right? On the convenient spots. Like all the health food is in the cash register area, right? Wrong. It's candy bars and, you know, all that good stuff. Amen. But they have done studies on this, and they have shown that people that go shopping when they're hungry will buy much more high calorie and empty calorie things than they would if they were full. Amen. Just stuck to their list. Praise God. Amen. And, you know, empty calorie foods, those are foods that happen to be right up my alley. But, of course, empty calorie foods are high in sugar, high in fat. Amen. They're pretty lean on protein and not too much fiber. That's what empty calories are. They are, you know, very low in really nutritional value, but they still fill you up. Amen. But I want to know, what are you hungry for in life? What are you thirsty for in life? Amen. Because you will ultimately fill yourself with what you hunger for, and you will fill yourself with what you thirst for. Amen. And whether it be natural food and drink, amen, or spiritually speaking, amen, when it comes to mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, amen, what are we hungering for? What are we thirsting for? Because just like the grocery store, if we go hungry, amen, we will be filled. Amen. I will grab that bag of Cheetos. I will grab that box of donuts. I will, amen, get that pack of soda, praise God, and I'll have the donuts and the Cheetos and wash it down with soda and feel fantastic like a million bucks until I come crashing down from the sugar high and all that stuff. Amen. See, you know why people continually sin in their lives? You know why people continually return to partake at the table of sin? Because sin is full of empty calories, spiritually speaking. Amen. It temporarily satisfies, but it doesn't go the long haul. Amen. Sin does not truly satisfy. When the Bible talks about Moses in the Old Testament, you know, of course, we know that so that he wouldn't be killed with all the other babies, all the other male babies back then during when Pharaoh was ruling. Amen. His mother gave him up when he was 3 months old, sent him literally floating down the Nile River and just hoping for the best. And of course, God let that little bitty bassinet thing, come right up to where Pharaoh's daughter and her maidens were out there, you know, getting some sun by the riverbank. And they took him up, and Pharaoh's daughter raised him as one of her own. And so he had the best of everything. He could have been, you know, if not another Pharaoh in the future, he could have still had some high-ranking position in the kingdom of Egypt if he would have wanted to. He had the best education. He had all that stuff. Amen. But when he grew up, God somehow had put in him through his mother or somehow, amen, that who he really was. Amen. And when he saw these people being persecuted and whipped and forced into all this labor to build Pharaoh's kingdoms and his palaces and so forth, he knew those are my people. Amen. And the Bible said Moses chose God and his people rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, because sin only has passing pleasures. It doesn't satisfy long term. Amen. It's empty calories. John 4, Jesus said this. He talked to the woman at the well in verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Amen. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. So the water that Jesus gives, amen, it's not empty calories. It's not just water that we have to keep drinking. Amen. He gives us a water that it springs up into everlasting life. Praise God. Now, when you might have heard of an acronym that spells the word HALT, H-A-L-T, that stands for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. This acronym and this, what it represents, is used to coach people in addiction recovery to help them avoid relapse. Amen. Because psychologists and those that have worked with people, amen, not just people that are addicted, but just people in general, they have found that when people, they call these stressors in life. They have found that when people are hungry, when people are angry, when people are lonely, and when people are tired, they do things they normally don't do. They make decisions they normally don't make. Amen. And this is why this is used specifically to help people in addiction recovery. You know, like AA and NA, amen, for instance, to help them avoid relapse. Praise God. And when people are experiencing any one of these four things or a combination of them, they are more likely to make impulsive decisions. They're more likely to lack self-control and to give in to temptation. See, another word for halt is stop, right? Halt. Stop. It's like, hey, you hungry? Okay, take it easy now. Are you tired? You angry? You lonely? Come on now. Don't do it. You know, think twice. Be careful. Amen. Don't let your guard down. Praise God. Because we need to stop and think about things, especially in times like that, when we're stressed out, when we feel alone, when we feel tired, when we feel hungry, when we feel hangry. Amen. We got to stop and think, because we don't want to be making any major decisions under those circumstances. We need to choose wisely. Choose wisely. Because if you will be hungry, amen, for the right things. If you're hungry, he will give you bread from heaven. Amen. Psalm 107:9, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. If you are angry, he will calm you down and bring you peace. Amen. You don't have to count, you know, like, okay, if you're angry, why don't you just go over there, sit down, take a couple of breaths and count to 100. You know, I don't know if that always works. How about if I, amen, turn to the Lord and ask him to help me bring the temperature down? Psalm 37:8, stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. James 1:19, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Amen. We need, amen, to ask God when we are hungry or angry or lonely or tired. If you're lonely, he'll always be there for you as a listening ear and a constant companion in life. Amen. To help you and to guide you. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. And if you're tired, he'll give you rest and refreshing. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, Paul said this in Ephesians 5:18. He said, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. So he's comparing being filled with the Spirit and being drunk with wine. Now, in my BC days before Christ, long time ago, because it's been a while now, amen, I know what it is to be drunk many times. And I know I was a different person when I was drunk. Wasn't thinking the same way. Wasn't speaking the same way. Wasn't doing the same things. Amen. Praise God. I was overcome and intoxicated by this drink. Amen. And what God is saying, if you will hunger for me, if you will thirst for me, amen, I will fill you with all the fullness of God. I will fill you with my Spirit. Amen. And you will be intoxicated in a beautiful way, in a powerful way. You will not talk your way you normally talk. You will not act the way you normally act. You will not think the way you normally. You will be under the influence of the Holy Ghost, which is a good thing. Amen. So we need to redirect our hunger and thirst to the right things, to the good things, to things that God has prepared for us. Psalm 42:1 said, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. That's what a thirsting is, a longing. I thirst for God, for the living God. I say, when will I be able to go and appear in God's presence? Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, and early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and to see thy glory. Amen. Oh, praise God. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Praise God. Oh, I like that. Amen. I like that. That's not empty calories. Amen. That's long-term satisfaction. That's long-term fulfillment. He's talking about now and next week and next month and forever. Jesus, in that last day, John 7:37, that great day of the feast, he stood and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified, because we know that he had to die first. You can't have a gospel message of death, burial, and resurrection until after the death, burial, resurrection. So he was speaking something. Hey, there's going to be something for you coming up soon. Amen. You that hunger, you that thirst, you that are tired of what the world has to offer. Amen. Empty calories. Praise God. I'm going to fill you with all the fullness of God. Praise God. And this spake he of the Holy Ghost, that they that believe on him should receive, must receive. We want to receive. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus fed 5,000 men, not including their wives and kids. So when you add all that up, some estimates are 15,000 maybe, or even more possibly. Who knows? Praise God. And he did it with a little boy's lunch, which was a powerful miracle. He called for 12 baskets, large baskets. And with that little boy's lunch, amen, he gave thanks. He looked up into heaven. He started breaking that fish and the loaves, and he filled all 12 of those baskets. And those baskets, he said, go pass it out to these thousands of people. And they would pass it out, and the basket just kept filling up, kept filling up, kept filling up. Amen. And then everybody said, anybody want anything else? Anybody? And everybody's going, oh, no, we're full. Nothing else. Are you sure we got this thing still full? You got anything? No, no, we don't want anything else. Thank you. Thank you so much. And they brought it back to Jesus. And they said, look, Lord, we got 12 full baskets. They're the same full baskets that they went out in the crowd with. They came back with 12 full. That's being filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Praise God. When you pull up to Jesus' table, you'll always leave filled and satisfied. And it won't be empty calories. Amen. Won't be like, you know, sometimes you eat Chinese food and then you're full and you're starving like an hour later. I don't know what's going on with that food, but I mean, it's delicious, but then it's like, I'm ready for another meal. Amen. That won't happen at Jesus' table. Praise God. Your fullness, like, oh my goodness, I went to like the biggest buffet and I'm not going to be able to eat for a couple days. Going to have to wear my, you know, my sweatpants with the extensions on them, you know. Amen. Until I can recover. Amen. When you come to Jesus' table, you are satisfied. Amen. You are overflowing. Amen. God gives you all that you need and more. Praise God. You won't get any empty calories with what the Lord prepares for you. Amen. God has given us his word along with his spirit, and his word is not empty calories. Praise God. I know I appreciate, amen. I spoke about NA and AA and self-help programs and all that stuff. I appreciate all that. Praise God. Amen. But there's nothing like the word of God. Amen. To satisfy and to help us. We need to trust in the word more. We need to read the word more. Thank God for all these other things. But the word of God is ultimate. It's ultimate. The Bible said the word of God is milk for the new babies in Christ, and it's meat for the mature babies. So the same sermon goes out, and the new babies are just got their little bottle. Oh, pastor, that's great. Amen. And then the people that have been around for a while, amen. All right, thank you for that ribeye and big potato or whatever. Praise God. That's why it's the same message. But God knows what everybody needs. God knows what the new ones need. God knows what the mature ones need. God knows what everybody needs. Amen. His table is always spread, praise God, with everything that everybody needs. You talk about a 7-course meal. Amen. He's got like a, you know, 100-course meal or whatever. He takes care of everybody. Amen. The word of God is our spiritual food, the Bible said, and our spiritual drink. Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I got to be eating the word, folks. I got to be eating the word. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I'm going to eat his word. Praise God, so I can be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Matthew 4:4, it is written, Jesus said, amen, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, one of his greatest sermons, it compasses three books of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, three chapters, I mean. Amen. Chapter 5, 6, and 7. And in chapter 5, it begins with the Beatitudes, the blessed are, amen, scriptures. And one of them in verse 6 of chapter 5 said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. And I go back to that question I asked earlier. What are you hungering and thirsting for? Amen. If it's righteousness, you're going to be filled with the right thing. Praise God. Praise God, because when you're not hungry, amen, you're not going to seek to be filled. When you're not thirsty, you're not going to seek to quench your thirst, amen. And just like our stomach, amen, our heart and our spirit and our mind have capacities. And if we fill them up with all this other stuff, we're not going to be hungry for the right things, amen. We need to empty out some stuff and keep a lot of plenty of room to always have a hunger, no matter how good God is to me, no matter how blessed I am, amen. I got to always have a hunger and a thirst and a longing and a yearning and a craving for the Spirit of God and for the Word of God, so that I may be filled with all the fullness of God, oh Lord. Amen. So if we want to be truly blessed in life, if we want to be filled with His goodness and mercy and be filled and satisfied and fulfilled, then hunger and thirst for His righteousness every day. His righteousness comes from His Word and His Spirit. And when you seek His righteousness, you will be filled with joy. You will be filled with comfort. And Colossians 1:9 said, you will be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. These are some beautiful promises. So what does it mean to be filled with all the fullness of God? Glad you asked. Acts 2:1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is after Jesus died, 3 days in the grave, rose again the third day, appeared unto the apostles and many others for about the space of 40 days. He was showing himself resurrected, and then he ascended in chapter 1 of Acts up into heaven. Amen, and told them to go to Jerusalem to wait to be endued with power from on high, which is the Spirit of God and the fullness of God. Amen. And finally, they say, theologians say that between 7 and 10 days, the apostles and the 120 were up in that upper room. They were praying. They were singing. They were just, you know, doing, meditating, whatever they were doing, encouraging one another. He said, wait until you get that. Go to Jerusalem and wait until you get that power. Wait till you get the promise of the Father. Wait till you get the Holy Ghost. Wait till you get to be filled with all the fullness of God. And 7 to 10 days later, amen, Acts chapter 2, Amen. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Praise God. They were all with one accord in one place. That means they were all together, but they weren't just physically together in one room. They were together in their hearts. They were together in their minds, in their unity of purpose. Amen. They were together in their prayers, in their praise, and they were together in their goal and in their desire and their expectation. They were together in their hunger and thirst because they were all waiting for the same promise. Go to Jerusalem and you will be endued with power from on high. Amen. So if we will hunger and thirst for it, it can suddenly happen right here, right now for us. Anytime, amen, those of you that have not received the Holy Ghost baptism, maybe you've repented, maybe you've been baptized, but you haven't received the Holy Ghost, it's for you. The promise is for you and for your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. What's the secret? There really is no secret besides hungering and thirsting for it. For when you hunger and thirst for the kingdom and for the spirit of the kingdom, you will be filled. He said, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those are the blessed people. They shall be filled. And Jesus said, seek first, Matthew 6:31. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. His kingdom is the kingdom of God in this earth, which is the Holy Ghost. Amen. That holds the church together. That's the kingdom. Amen. So if we will believe this morning, if we will hunger and thirst for it this morning, I believe all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. Praise God. Because it's the hungry ones that get filled, because they're going to take care of their hunger. The thirsty ones, they get refreshed because they're going to take care of their thirst. It's just, what are we hungering for? What are we thirsting for? Not food and drink, but in life. Amen. For our satisfaction, for our fulfillment. Amen. There's so many things we can get involved with, and many of them are great, you know, hobbies and jobs and all that stuff, careers and wonderful things. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But let's put him first. Seek first the kingdom. Amen. The priority is God in our lives. Let's be filled with all the fullness of God this morning. Would you stand with me?
What an incredible message. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast, and may God bless you.